Welcome to another one of our podcasts brought to you by MichaelGrinder.com. I'm here with Sharon Saylor from www.impressionengineers.com.
We once again join Michael and Sharon as they continue their conversation on Michael's latest book, The Elusive Obvious, and the nonverbal cross-cultural communication techniques. In this podcast, Michael is talking about his recent trip to Brazil and the nonverbal communication cross-cultural techniques he noticed in the Portuguese-Brazilian culture.
Well, Sharon, the last time we talked, we were talking about nonverbals in general, and I want to continue now to talk about a recent trip I did to Brazil. When I was there, because I had been in Latin America before, but not in Brazil. And Brazil, as we all know, is a Portuguese culture. And I wanted to see if my nonverbals that we have in our book called The Elusive Obvious can be transported and used as a template to understand what happens in the culture of Brazil. So what they did was they had an NLP, a Neuro-Linguistic Programming Conference, and I was the pre-conference speaker as well as the keynote. They set up so that I was doing 2 days of training, and in the evening of the first day, they invited three people, two from television, and they're quite famous and popular there, a male and a female, and then a third person who was a famous high school history teacher there. And the three of them were invited to come for the evening. We had about 200 people in the audience, and they were going to have me talk for 20 minutes and distill all of my research on nonverbal communication down to 20 minutes. Then each of them went to take 25 minutes to respond to what they heard during my 20 minutes. So I thought it was a rather hilarious setup, and what a wonderful opportunity for me to watch the audience while the three of them talked. So here I was on a stage platform, probably about a meter and a half high, and I was sitting there next to the translator, and so as the three of them would talk, I would get to watch the audience. Since they were talking in Portuguese, I was able to listen to the voice pattern but not understand what they were saying. The translator, of course, would say things that were just a nanosecond behind what they had just said. So I became fascinated by watching the audience and watching the audience's reaction to these three people. And here's what we found. Being able to see the tops of everyone's heads every time the three speakers, and remember, a man, woman, and then the third person, it didn't matter the gender. Every time they would talk, and during their pause, if they froze their hands and did not move them until they talked again, the audience went very still. There was much attention and attentiveness. But if they would go ahead and talk, and if you can picture someone talking with their hand out, and then having the hand drop down to their side during their pause, there would be a rustling of heads. That you could see that all the heads moving. You could actually hear paper being shuffled as people took notes. But if the person talked with a hand held out from their torso and kept it out during their pause and didn't move it until they began to talk again, the audience froze, almost mesmerized. And so I was very excited to know that one of our foundations for nonverbal communication and the elusive obvious, which is the frozen hand gesture and how it seems to convey intelligence to the listener, was absolutely true in the Portuguese culture of Brazil.
That's fascinating, Michael, that it's cross-cultural. Have you found it in any of your other countries that it works as well?
Yes, as long as you can create the baseline first in terms of what is the length of most pauses in a given culture, and do they gesture a lot or less? And do they keep their hand out during the pause, or do they tend to drop it? And here's what's amazing. Even in a culture where people tend to drop their gestures or move it during the pause, such as most of the Mediterranean cultures, they talk with their hands a lot. But if you can picture a person who is very passionate about a subject, and as they talk about it, they not only talk about it, they move their hands even during the pause, as if by moving their hand they can think of what next to say. When they do that, that's the norm. But if someone inside that culture holds their hand still and violates the norm in the one sense, and they don't move their hand until they talk again, that person appears more intelligent. And so here's the breakthrough. Even when you find what is called the norm, the pattern, the baseline behavior of whether they gesture a lot or don't gesture a lot, whether they hold their hand or drop their hand, even in the cultures that drop their hand, holding the hand mesmerizes people better than dropping the hand. It's almost like we're saying, when I hold my hand during the pause, I'm indicating I have more to say, so please continue to listen. And when I finally drop my hand, I'm indicating I've finished.
Absolutely amazing, Michael. What other nonverbals did you see in Brazil that you've seen cross-culturally in all your travels that you've documented also in your latest book, The Elusive Obvious?
The voice patterns of people that come from the Mediterranean culture, and Portuguese is considered part of the Mediterranean culture, so is the Spanish culture, the Italian culture, the French culture, the Greek culture. All of those cultures tend to move their head when they're talking, so their voices go up and down. And as I move my head right now, you can probably hear my voice change. It becomes more melodic. It's more enjoyable to listen to. The Australians do their voice pattern too, but they do it a little bit different and for a different reason. So inside the Mediterranean cultures that bob their head a lot, when the person did not bob their head, there was more stillness in the audience. So both while you talk, your voice pattern, and when you don't talk, frozen hand gesture, tend to affect the listener's attentiveness.
If you'd like more information regarding the contents of this podcast, please contact us via michaelgrinder.com. This podcast is the copyrighted material of Michael Grinder and Associates, Battleground, Washington, USA.